everyone. I'm Andy Kahn, and welcome back to the Jambase Podcast. Jambase is a partner of Osiris Media, the podcast network for music. Our guest on this episode is singer-songwriter and fellow Osiris podcaster Maggie Rose. I recently spoke to Maggie from her home in Nashville about her newly launched Osiris podcast, Salute the Songbird. That interview is coming up momentarily, but first, let's hear about this episode's sponsor, Polar Tech.
We're happy to welcome a new sponsor to the podcast, Polar Tech. We're teaming up with Polar Tech for the Family Album Photo Contest. Just send us a picture of your good times outside, no matter the era, rocking that fleece. If we select your photo, you can win awesome prizes we know you'll love. Visit jambase.com to enter. For anyone that might not know, Polar Tech is behind the fleece and fabrics that have been keeping heads warm for over 30 years. Like a quality tie-dye or well-worn Birks, Polar Tech fleece has become a standard part of the live music scene, because even summer shows can get downright chilly. Originally made for hardcore climbers, backpackers, and outdoor enthusiasts, today Polar Tech fabrics range from base layers, mid layers, and weather protection, all engineered to keep you warm, dry, cool, and safe. Today, like a lot of us, Polar Tech is also older and a little wiser. Since pioneering the first fabrics made from recycled plastic bottles in 1993, Polar Tech has kept 1.7 billion bottles from landfills and now knits over 200 fabric styles from post-consumer materials. As revolutionary as fleece was back in the day, today Polar Tech is focused on the future of more styles made of recycled inputs, natural fibers, and bio-based solutions. It's a future of sustainably manufactured, eco-engineered, American-made fabrics for the next generation looking to get outside, feel the music, and rock that fleece. Polar Tech is the science of fabric.
As I mentioned before, Maggie Rose's Salute the Songbird podcast is part of the Osiris Media Network of podcasts. Osiris also recently launched the all-new Undermine podcast. Undermine combines three fish-focused Osiris podcasts, Under the Scales, Helping Friendly Podcast, and Beyond the Pond, into a new weekly series. Season 1 of Undermine revisits the early years of fish and their formation in Vermont. The first episode just dropped with fish lyricist Tom Marshall serving as host. The debut episode also features recollections from first fan Amy Skelton, fish collaborator Steve the Dude of Life Pollock, and others, as well as an extremely rare interview with former fish guitarist Jeff Holdsworth. Head to jambase.com/podcast for links to Undermine and all of Osiris Media's podcasts. When you're visiting Jambase, be sure to check out our newly redesigned articles page that makes it easier than ever to search for the latest news in the world of music, as well as to dig into our deep archives. If you haven't already shopped the recently opened Jambase store, now is the time to pick up some sweet gear and support Jambase at the same time. We've still got a great buy one, get one free deal on adult t-shirts, along with plenty of other items that would make the perfect Valentine's Day gift for your music-loving partner. A portion of the proceeds goes to Backline, whose mission is to connect music industry professionals and their families with a trusted network of mental health and wellness providers. All right, as I said at the top of the episode, I spoke to singer-songwriter Maggie Rose last week from her home in Nashville. Maggie told me about the origins of starting her podcast, Salute the Songbird, and what her experience has been after recording the first season. We talked about her impressive roster of guests, which includes Ann Wilson of Heart and Joan Jett on yet-to-be-released episodes, as well as Jennifer Hartswick, Martina McBride, and others on ones that are currently streaming. Maggie discussed the podcast's focus on female songwriters and described her experience as a woman in the music industry. She also told me about her upcoming new studio album that was recorded in Muscle Shoals, Alabama at the historic Fame Recording Studio. Rose tracked the album, which she revealed is titled Have a Seat, with producer Ben Tanner of Alabama Shakes, and others including members of her frequent collaborators Them Vibes, and acclaimed session player and member of The Swampers, David Hood. We also talked about the Quarantine 45 singles Maggie wrote, recorded, and released last year. She touched on her recent performance at the Grand Ole Opry, featuring the debut of her song What Are We Fighting For? And we talked about Maggie's upcoming Valentine's Day concert in Nashville that will be live streamed. Let's hear a bit of one of her 2020 singles, Help Myself, to lead us into the interview, which picks up with us talking about the Sweetwater Under the Sun event in September 2018.
I diagnosed myself with the internet. Minor aches and pains, death is imminent. I think the switch in my eye might be permanent. You got a cure for it. need a cure for it. I buy self-help books and call it therapy. Found a quote that could calm your anxiety. If you could find the time, read it back to me. Might be what I need, might be the one I need. You should try a hypnotist, see a guru. Gotta do this new cleanse, that shit's voodoo. Maybe we're all just out of our minds.
Like, most of Jambase was there that day. We had Jambase's employees are spread out all over the country, so back when we could travel and see each other in person, we would get together from time to time in the Bay Area, and we'd always try and coordinate a concert so that we could go see live music while we were all together. And that Sweetwater in the Sun was one of the events that we picked. It coincided with one of the weekends we all got together. And I was saying right before that, we had heard...
I'm going to show you our poster from it.
Oh, nice, right nice.
There. Yeah.
Very cool. But we, right before it, we had started hearing your name a little bit, and we're very much intrigued to when we saw you were on that lineup and got to see you then that day. It was the first time I think anybody from Jambase probably had seen you live, and we were all
that's accurate.
Madly, we were all really impressed, and ever since then, just been watching you continue to grow and blossom. It's been awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that did feel like a really significant day for all the reasons you mentioned, but it was the first time I had been invited to play with someone like Bob Weir and, you know, Eric Krasno, Jennifer Hartswick, who I know you guys have had on the podcast. And I actually listened to the episode you had with her to research for my own podcast. And we called her Jayha, and I loved it. It was a great episode. She's also just fantastic guest. So
she's a good friend of Jambase. She goes way back with a few of us for sure.
But it felt like that was the day that I was sort of welcomed into the fold a little bit of this community. And
yeah, I mean, I don't want to say you passed a test, but to some degree, I mean, it's like you definitely caught our attention, you know, and in a good way, and have continued to do that over the past few years since then. I mean, I can't believe that's 2.5 years ago now, almost.
I know.
You know, I mean, it's amazing how much time has flown. But one of the things that, the main thing that I do want to talk to you about, at least right off the top here, is your new podcast, Salute the Songbird, which is on Osiris, our friends at Osiris. Tell me a little bit. Let's start with, how did you develop the idea for the podcast? Like, where did it first come from?
So I actually was a guest on Past, Present, Future Live, which is a podcast with Osiris. And it was a great conversation with RJ. And that was the segue that kind of introduced me both to the company and to everything that they're doing. And Kirsten Cluthy, who's my producer of the podcast, was called by my husband, Austin. He thought he was calling a different Kirsten from Live for Live Music.
Okay.
And they started talking about, coincidentally, Past, Present, Future Live. And she was going on about how they wanted, you know, female hosts and authors, and how she'd have this, how she had this great idea to pursue that kind of program. Mm-hmm. And then they connected the dots at who they actually were talking to. I loved the idea. And of course, with them facilitating the whole podcast, it made it that much more appealing to me because they do such a good job at editing and helping me curate my guest list, but they also give me free rein to conduct these conversations however I want. And the versatility of the guest list that we have right now is really compelling because I'm an artist in Nashville who has a different perspective where I get to kind of live in this world that's more country, but I also live in this world that's more soul driven. I've been on tour with newcomers who I'm anxious for people to know about. And then also with people like Nancy Wilson and Joan Jett, and, it's fun to pull that all into one place and just have these conversations between two artists that are catered to everyone, but especially from the female perspective. It kind of resonates with people who are pursuing music or who are audiophiles or who are the layperson just trying to learn more about what the process is like.
So how would you describe the premise of Salute the Songbird to somebody that's not yet listened?
So it's candid conversations between myself and female artists, and there is no genre specification. It's not just an origin story about how they rose up and achieve their success and maintain their success. It's a little bit more personal at times. And it's also not about what is the plight of being a woman in this industry. I didn't want it to be something that just lamented that, because there's a lot of wonderful things about being a woman, but it's weird. It's pleasantly weird to me that there isn't a format like this yet between two artists just discussing at different points in their career, oftentimes, what it is that they share in common about the pursuit of being a woman in the industry. And these are some badasses who, you know, I learn something from every conversation. I walk away with a little bit more wisdom.
What are some of the things that you've learned?
So Nancy Wilson, for example,
from Heart,
From Heart. You know, she is so astute in how she kind of reflects on these different stages in her career and what was going on in the world that then affected the way these executives dealt with her and her sister, Anne. Mm-hmm. And she takes all of that in stride, and she's the consistency throughout her career and how she's approached her music with some level of seriousness. And she's also had fun and known that, like, all these other factors are going to affect, sometimes detrimentally, what you're trying to do, but she keeps on going, and she is so established, but she always makes time to reach out to artists like myself. And she's just out there keeping that rapport going. She's doing stuff on Sirius. And I think that's a long-winded way of saying that she just is a great example of how to keep your head down and focus on what it is that she can contribute to continuing her career and doing what she loves.
Did you know her before the episode?
I knew her just from when we had gone on tour together briefly in 2019, and when I was out with Heart and Joan Jett. And she was so nice. And we actually just kept in touch over social media. And she made me feel very welcome to ask her to be on the podcast.
And that episode has not yet aired yet, correct?
It's not coming.
Stay tuned for that. But some of the episodes that have aired, you talked with Jennifer Hartswick and Martina McBride, Mickey Guyton, Ruby Amanfu. So you're definitely there's a variety in like you said in the genres of musicians that you're talking to. How did you come up with that initial guest list?
I think it's a lot of just hitting people up on Instagram, especially mm-hmm. during this time where we're all a little isolated. And to me, the socialization that comes with touring and being out on the road is so important to just my development as an artist and staying engaged with what it is that we're doing. So this has been a great placeholder for that in the midst of what we're all dealing with. Nikki Bloom is someone who I love. I met her mm-hmm. during the Marcus King Four of a Kind series. So I just reached out to her and asked her to be on because I wanted to know more about her. I also have Leslie Fram, who's the senior VP at CMT.
Oh, cool.
So I want executives to be the podcast too, because there's so many instrumental figures that make all of this come to fruition that I think are sometimes the unsung heroes of, like, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain who puts it all together. Mm-hmm. So having her perspective, it's just keeping me engaged with folks who inspire me, and it's keeping me, it's allowing me to continue broadening my network of artists that I want to know and that make me better just by proxy.
And are there other specific, like, topics or issues that are important to you to try and explore on the podcast?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about with Nikki, like she's just gone through a divorce, and how much does her personal experience overlap with what she's putting in her music? And it's apparent that it does very much. And I talk with Chrissy Metz from This Is Us, who's pursuing a career in music in Nashville to sign with Universal. And she talks about discrimination that she felt in the industry because of her size. And, you know, it's not all because of the inequities sometimes that you see in Nashville with country radio. That's mostly where I see it amplified, with like how they're playing so many men and not a lot of women. So with Mickey Guyton, that's something we talk about a lot. So it's about their specific positions in life that are affecting their music and how they're making it, and how they're also trying to just be looked at and with the same lens that you would look at one of their male counterparts. But I don't want to ghettoize women either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's something that I did want to talk to you about, because that's an interesting aspect of this concept of, you know, female is not a genre. That's something that I've really tried to hammer home at Jambase. You know, we don't refer to an all female band because we don't refer to all male bands. You know, female is not a descriptor for us, you know, and that way we try to be equal. But at the same time, something like you're doing is amplifying a female's voice. So how do you balance this idea of standing up for women and amplifying women's voices, but also not continuing to create a sort of separate category of the female artist?
It's a fine line. I feel like I know exactly where it is and how to navigate that in these conversations. But with my music and what I do with my artist career, I collaborate so heavily with like Them Vibes and Brother Love and Alex. And there's a huge part of my musicianship that I represent that is heavily, heavily influenced by the men that I'm friends with and that I work with. But when it comes to this kind of conversation that I felt I could maintain and do season after season, I think I just knew that the rapport was going to be a little bit more easy for me to find with women who we all share similar struggles. And those struggles that I'm referring to were big influences on getting me in this musical lane that I'm in. I was so fed up with the bullshit happening in my career earlier on with having really great music that was not getting played on the radio for political reasons. And, you know, I want my music to get better and better, but at the time it certainly deserved a shot. So I think that there is something to be said for the fact that I circumvented that and just found my voice. So it is a thing, but I also think that sometimes in these conversations, the least interesting thing about these women is that they're women. In fact, in all of them, there's a takeaway that I think the listener would find has very little to do with their gender and just about their unique path that was very winding and not direct.
They transcend it, right? I mean, like they go beyond so that there's no question about their bona fides. They're true musicians, and the discussions that you're having with them is about their musicianship. And is it, so it's safe to say then maybe that the discussions then incorporate how perhaps at times being a female musician has affected their career?
Yes. There's always, I like to end every conversation with, you know, instead of talking about what the perceived disadvantages are of being a woman, let's talk about what has given you an edge because of that. And every answer has been different. And I think that has been a pleasant surprise. I mean, I was expecting everyone to have slightly different insight, but they've been wildly different answers. And I think the other thing is, like, it's not a playlist. It's Female Friday that's putting a Band-Aid on whatever issue it is that people might think there is in a particular genre. This is something that is just a catalyst for a conversation. Hopefully people will hear these and then continue looking into what's interesting about that individual. It's just designating something for women only. And I feel like that's okay too, if it's something that's a spinoff from, like, my overall career in my music. I would never do that, because
yeah,
I'd be really short changing myself.
Definitely. So you've got the first season recorded, correct?
We have nine episodes recorded, and there's going to be 20 episodes a season.
Oh, wow. So you've got some more to come.
Yes. Yeah. We have a few exciting people coming up.
Are you able to reveal any of those?
Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's.
Yeah. Very cool.
Really fun. I just spoke with Kaylee Shore, who's working with Butch Walker. So there's a lot of really exciting people. Elizabeth Cook, I'm going to have her on for a live episode that we're going to do at Third and Lindsay before I play my Sunday night show on Valentine's Day. And we're also broadcasting that on nugs.net as well. But that'll be our first episode in front of a socially distanced audience. And she's such a hoot and is a pro. She has her own show on Outlaw Country, so she knows how to talk. And
yeah.
She just released an incredible album.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that concert? That's on Valentine's Day, right?
Yes.
And have you done one of those, socially distanced concerts? Have you done very many of them?
I haven't done very many of them. I think everyone's kind of trying to recalibrate what it is that makes those successful. But I did this exact version with Marcus King back in December. He did three nights in a row at Third and Lindsay. And every Sunday night, Lightning 100, which is our local rock radio in Nashville, has a Sunday night broadcast that they do live. So that'll be the format that we're doing. And then also for the video component, we've been doing a bunch of virtual shows with nugs.net since this pandemic started. So they've been a great partner for us in getting some of these concerts that we're putting together out to the people.
How is the experience for you playing in a room that is not at capacity and people are standing 6 feet apart from each other?
Honestly, it's heavenly right now. If you look at the alternative.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I understand.
Just to hear a live reaction is really medicinal almost. I just played the Opry and you all posted about it, which I appreciate. And it was a very much smaller audience than what full capacity would be. And everyone's masked up, but just to hear the response once the song is done, especially since this was a brand new song, What Are We Fighting For? That's my A&R. When I go out on the road, that's how I know if a song is resonating with people. So it's sort of the litmus test for me. And even if it's 100 people versus however many you could pack in that room, it's just a little taste of what I know we'll get back to soon. But
yeah, we all miss live music very much right now.
Yeah, it's the understatement of 2020 and 2021.
I was going to ask you about that Grand Ole Opry appearance that was last Saturday. You did debut a brand new song. It's called What Are We Fighting For?
Oh,
When did you write that song?
I wrote that with Alex, a dad, and Brother Love of Them vibes. Mm-hmm. Probably 2 months before we went into cut in 2019. So like April of 2019.
Okay.
So this whole album was finished, and at least the recording process was finished before lockdown began. Mm-hmm. And at the Valentine's show, we're going to go through the entire record. So people will be hearing some of these songs for the first time live. But I thought that, because I've done this in the past, that waiting to release this music would kind of grate on me, and that I'd be like, all right, this is stale now and I want to move on to the next thing. But mm-hmm. I'm so excited because we've been digging into the mixes again over the last couple of months to prepare them for mastering. And it's just exactly what I want to say right now. And I think you can tell I was writing all this material during a time that was a little more contentious in mm-hmm. our country and just for everybody. And then the way that the products resulted, it's just, it feels like a follow through and kind of putting to bed that whole time in our lives, but it sounds beautiful and it's a celebration and a soulful record. So,
and that's the record you recorded in Muscle Shoals, right?
Yes.
At Fame Recordings, the aptly named Fame Recordings.
Right. Yeah.
What can you tell me about that experience? I mean, Muscle Shoals, that building itself is just steeped in history.
Yes. And it looks exactly as it did when, you know, Allman Brothers and Aretha and Otis and Wilson Pickett were all singing there. So I feel like we drew from that energy.
It's amazing.
Ben Tanner produced, he's part of Alabama Shakes, and mm-hmm. he helped me put together this stellar band that was very much like the record, where we had David Hood, who's Muscle Shoals royalty,
Patterson's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Swamper. Yes. Yeah.
The apple does not fall far.
Yeah. You got a Swamper. That's great.
Hell yeah. And we had singers that sing with Brittany Howard, Carita and Shanae, and other members from Alabama Shake. Zach Crowell played on a few songs.
Nice.
Lloyd Buchanan, Ben Alleman, who plays with Jenny Lewis. And then also like my band with Sarah Tomek drumming. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She's been with me forever. And I had like my core group of people that I write with Alex and Larry, again, Brother Love. And it was just like all these different backgrounds and ages and people who specialize in different genres in one room, in a room that's so historically significant. Too. And Ben allowed me to play up on all those things that I love about the music that's come out of that room, but mm-hmm. we also made it contemporary and psychedelic, and we don't want it to just be a throwback record. Like, we want to bring it forward. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty magical. It was a bucket list moment. We have all these studios in Nashville, but I wanted to go there and get out of the space physically and mentally.
And how did you and Ben connect? How did that collaboration come about?
So we connected through my publisher, Katie Fagan.
Oh, okay.
She is a badass, and her best friend, Amy Patton, manages Ben Tanner.
Gotcha.
Okay. And I was throwing around these songs that were contenders for this new record. And I had already floated the idea of recording it in a place like Fame. Mm-hmm. And Amy heard some of the songs and ran with it and connected me to Ben when he was here working on another project, and we hit it off, and he was fantastic. Like, we were going back and forth to Muscle Shoals, and he was listening to just dozens and dozens of demos and helping me narrow down what we were going to cut. And I was writing with John Paul White and getting familiar with the space, and just was, I made the record the way that you're supposed to make a record. And even though this is like the third album that I'm putting out, I feel like it was the first one that I could make with intention from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So even with Change the Whole Thing, we were cutting two songs and that was going to be it. And we just decided that that went so well, we have to make an LP, and we got all of our shit together after. But right, this was a full start to finish
complete
process.
Thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it have a release date yet?
The first song, is called Do It, and it's coming out on February 19th.
Okay. But you're going to preview the whole album during the live stream on Valentine's
yes.
Day.
Yes. What,
does the album have a title?
It's called Have a Seat.
Have a Seat.
Excellent. Have a Seat.
Exciting.
It's about inclusivity.
Yeah.
It's all, it, you know, we did this really cool, elaborate video shoot for it where there's several clones of myself fighting at nice. A table that's from like Alice in Wonderland, just not oh. of the universe.
Oh, wow.
It was really fun. We went for it.
You went through the looking glass.
Yes. Yeah.
But then you also released a couple of singles at the end of last year, your Quarantine 45 singles, mm-hmm. 2020 and Only Human, I Want to Get Out. Those aren't on the album though, right? Because they were written last year.
Those were just sort of almost a time capsule of what we were all going through in 2020. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I had all of the songs from Have a Seat recorded.
Right.
And we put a pin in the process because, you know, we, like everybody, we had just had our calendars wiped clean and mm-hmm. there's so much ambiguity. And we had the tornado tear through East Nashville in the neighborhood where me and Them Vibes live. And then the pandemic after. So we kind of got back on the horse by writing Only Human together at okay. Alex's house. And then I decided during quarantine that if I didn't learn to play piano, then I would never learn. So I started kind of tinkering around on this crappy electric piano that I have here that I love writing on now. And it got me going on the chorus of 2020. Mm-hmm. That was right after John Prine passed and Bill Withers and Kenny Rogers. And I wrote that chorus and finished it out with Sarah, Alex, and Larry. And then we all recorded our parts respectfully in our homes, or it was like a Frankenstein project.
Yeah, I was going to ask how that all came together. Yeah.
Right. Using audio movers and mm-hmm. having our friend in LA put bass on it, Kyle Whalum. And it was the most collaborative project considering how isolated we all were.
Everybody's becoming their own engineers during lockdown.
Yeah.
You know?
Hardly can call myself that, but I'm...
You're learning, though. I mean, you picked
learning.
Up...
I'm learning. Baptism by fire.
You picked up a little piano along the way. I mean, it's not been all bad, it sounds like.
Absolutely not. It's certainly made me grateful and probably is a big contributor to my level of excitement for finally releasing this project, because I feel grateful to have had the chance to make it before it would have been logistically so hard to do that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like chomping at the bit to put new music out, and I have a project that I love and it could be very different.
Right.
2020, but I couldn't see the tornado coming. It sat me down when I'm usually running. Got me thinking about dumb things like money. But hey, I tried to stay.
So do you have, like, how does 2021 look for you? I know that's kind of an open-ended question, but for musicians right now, I think a lot of fans and lovers of music are, you know, wondering how musicians are doing and what the future holds.
I wish that I could say we have all these dates lined up and I'm going to be able to get back to what I love doing, which is playing live shows, but I'm very hopeful. I know that I'm going to be able to release new music every month leading up to the August release of this album. And I'm hoping by August, there's going to be ways for us to safely play shows. We're kind of hovering over the like confirmation button for a lot of different appearances, but I want my band to be safe and the audience to be safe. But regardless, I know that music is coming out and a lot of it, and that will just allow me to deliver that to the audience and move on in my process and the evolution of what's next, because we gotta put music out, and I don't want to be precious with it anymore. But lots of shows still virtually. The Third and Lindsley is a glimmer for me.
Yeah. Do you think that's like tipping your toe in the water for something that might happen more if it goes well, or are you just kind of waiting to see?
I think I know, because I've seen firsthand that they really have it figured out. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of really smart people who are determined to make this work in a way that is comfortable for everybody. The vaccination prospect was nice to hear about, because I'm hoping that will allow us for the summer to be out and listening to music.
Right.
'Cause I also need it as a musician. That's one of the best reasons to live in Nashville, is just to be able to study. And you know, Basement East is in our backyard, and it was ruined by the tornado, but they're back. And I feel like that's just a big metaphor for everybody here in Nashville and in the music industry. People are getting their ducks in a row.
I hope so. I hope that things get back to normal sooner than later, and that
me too, Andy.
We can all get back to going to see live music, and hopefully that will include me getting to see you in person and maybe making live music one day soon.
It's going to happen. I believe.
Yeah. Well, we have to believe it will. positive vibes will can only help. Best of luck to you with Salute the Songbird. What day of the week, how often do they come out?
It's every Tuesday. We release a new episode.
All right. Well, you can find that on jambase.com. There's a Salute the Songbird page on there. You can go to osirispod.com and check it out there. I think it's terrific. I think you're doing a really wonderful job of shining the light on some really important aspects of the music industry. And I think it's so far been really engaging conversations, and I'm looking forward to what else is on the horizon.
Well, I love what you do too, Andy. And thanks for helping me in my research with all your fabulous guests that you're talking to. I love the pace of your podcast. And as an artist, I think one of my goals with these conversations is to do the research, like to ask the questions that I have been in the other chair and not been asked. Or
right. Yeah.
You do a really great job of that. And as a lover of music, it's just something that's hard to like really get those nuggets of truth out of people. And I love what you do.
Well, we really appreciate that. And thanks for those kind words, and best of luck to you, and stay safe out there. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
I'll see you this summer. We're planning on it. It feels like I'm dying. Your touch and your feel was all there was real. I never needed you like I do. I'm only human, baby. I'm only human. I never needed you like I do. I'm only human, baby. I'm only human. Go through the motions, tired of hoping. Look all around me and all the doors closing, but I never needed you like I do.
That's all for this episode of the Jam Bass Podcast. Many thanks to Maggie Rose for taking some time to chat with me. Subscribe to her podcast, Salute the Songbird, on your preferred podcast provider, and stay tuned for more new music from Maggie soon. Thanks to our sponsor, PolarTech. Be sure to enter the Family Album Photo Contest with a picture sporting PolarTech gear for a chance to win one of our several outstanding prizes. Thanks, as always, to Jake Alexander for helping produce the episode. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and load us up on stars if you like what you hear. And don't forget to tell your friends to check us out. We'll be back soon, so in the meantime, if there's a responsibly socially distanced way to go see live music, grab a mask and go see live music.